Morning. I've asked Robin to read our reading for today, making way for the King.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. Born to be king. Born to be king. Three things that I want to look at, first of all, and that is God's preparations, then to look at the Magi, and then the King himself. God's preparation. God prepared a star. Can you imagine God preparing a star? How many years do you think he would have had to have been planning back then to get that star in just the right place at just the right time? Is that just even mind-blowing, trying to think of preparing? You and I are preparing for Christmas. We do it in a very short period of time. Jesus preparing for that first Christmas, he was preparing over the whole centuries, wasn't he? He prepared someone to prophesy, didn't he? So that when the people come to Jerusalem to find out where the king is to be born, they say, we read something about that only last week. He prepared. Do you know, God is preparing all the time. He's preparing. He talks about he prepares good things for you and I to do. Do you know, he's prepared them in advance. We think about Wednesday, God has prepared in advance things to do on Wednesday. Is that amazing? Hey, that's faith building, isn't it? God is always at work preparing. He's always at work preparing. Things just don't suddenly happen. Oh, I've been overtaken. No, God is preparing in advance. And he was preparing for Jesus to come. He prepared a group of people. These people that we call the Magi, the wise men. If I accidentally say there were three of them, please forgive me. I don't think there were three of them. There could have been any number of them. But they brought three gifts. Okay, so these men, can you imagine them? Lying on their airbeds or whatever they had in those days. Outside, the sun's gone down. Nice, warm, balmy evening, or even a hot evening. Just gazing up at the stars. And they just watched the stars. They watched and they watched and they watched the stars. He prepared. He prepared a group of people to come. And he prepared to get Mary and Joseph at the right time in the right place. He prepared, didn't he? He put someone on the throne in Rome who suddenly thought, I know what we'll do. We will have a census. He prepared. God is preparing. Listen, let's not feel that we are just sort of wandering around or floating about. God has prepared for us. He's prepared this Christmas time for us. He's prepared your family. He's been preparing and working on those that you've been praying for. Is there a hallelujah? Isn't that good? God has always been in the work of preparing, because that's who he is, or one of the things that he is. Let me tell you a little bit about these Magi. We just sort of mentioned it a moment ago. Here they were, sitting on their beds or lying on their beds, hands behind their heads, looking up at these stars. And they just saw stars and stars. They knew them. Actually, they probably didn't see all of those stars because that was taken through a telescope. But they're all up there. And there they were studying, they knew them, and then suddenly, we go to the next picture, they see there's another star. There's another star. Very often, I saw someone this week doing their Christmas tree up, and they had this massive star that they put on the top of the Christmas tree. Do you know, that's not how it was. If you look, there's very little, very few people saw the star. The wise men saw the star. Why? Because they had been studying, they'd been watching. And suddenly they see a new star. It wasn't a laser beam, or it wasn't a helicopter with a massive, as we sometimes imagine. Suddenly, they see a new star. Amongst all the stars that they've seen for months and years and weeks and they've been looking at, they suddenly see a new star. But it seems to have a pull to it. It's pulling them along. They're suddenly thinking, that is important. It is important for this whole planet. So they just sat there and did nothing. No, no. They said, we must do something. So they make their preparations. And they think, this must be a king. This must be a king. And so it seems to drag them along. And they've packed. They've got their stuff together and they follow. They follow. I don't know how it works. I've tried to work it out this last week. How does it work? How does it work that they seem to be drawn across the world? How does it work? It drags them along. It's wonderful, isn't it? Somehow, their spirit seemed to catch hold of. But this was actually quite something. Something new. World-changing. New. And they get dragged across and they get to Jerusalem. We've prayed for Jerusalem this morning, partly because of what's happened, but partly because it was an important place, wasn't it? They come to Jerusalem and they just don't go anywhere. They go to Herod's palace. These were important folk. They were received by Herod. And when he hears the news, it says in the scripture, he was worried, doesn't it? And the whole of Jerusalem with him. He was upset. And if you upset Herod, then watch out, everyone else gets upset. He was scared. Herod was scared. So he gets all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he gets them together, and one of them gives him the answer. Oh, no, it's not here, it's in Bethlehem. Do you know what's amazing to me about that? And that is that here you've got a Jewish people praying for a Messiah, praying for someone to deliver them. And when these people come and say, where is he? And they know the answer, they take no notice of it themselves at all. Isn't that amazing? I think, how is it that all these people who are praying to God for deliverance, suddenly news comes of a king born to this nation. They know where it should happen, but they just stay in Jerusalem. They didn't even seem to be inquisitive enough to think, well, it's only just down the road. Let's go and have a look. Let's send so-and-so to have a look. They're a good reporter. They don't do anything. Isn't that amazing? Listen, when we hear good news, we can be like that sometimes. We just, oh, that's interesting. Or if you hear good news, you can cheer, can't you? And you're allowed to cheer. What's the good news then? Listen. The King of Kings was to be born. Herod is scared. The Jews don't care. And Herod says to these blokes, hey, listen, when you find out, come back and let me know. So they say, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And so off they go, down to Bethlehem. And somehow they've worked out that star is right over this place. Somehow. I don't know how they worked it out. Yeah? Had it been a massive star, laser beam, the shepherds in the fields would have seen it, wouldn't they? There's nothing about the shepherds in the field seeing it. But somehow these people know their stars. These people know that it's right over this place. And they come. And the Bible says they were overjoyed. Do you remember that day when you first heard about Jesus? You were overjoyed, weren't you? Weren't you overjoyed? You thought, hey, this is too good to be true. These people were overjoyed. And what's more, they bring gifts. They were not only just ordinary people, they were prophets, because they brought gifts that were prophetic. Listen, you're buying gifts. Yeah, remember to put my name on your list. Buy inspired gifts. Listen to God. Did you ever sort of say, Father, he's awkward to buy for. She's awkward to buy for. What shall I get? God's got heaps of ideas. Can you listen and hear? Some of you think, oh, God's too busy. Actually, he may be too busy because he's answering my prayers, because I'm bothering him. Are you a God botherer? Listen, God loves it when we ask him for help. They brought gifts that were prophetic in nature. How wonderful is that? How wonderful. There just wasn't some tacky plastic thing. And they come, and what do? They bow down and worship. Can you think how ridiculous that is? There these people are. They probably had moved out of the cowshed by then, because this was probably some time after Jesus was born. Here's a baby boy. They bow down and they worship. Why? Because they recognize he is king. Do you recognize that Jesus is king? We often talk about lots of things about God. We don't often talk about Jesus being king. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Now, some of you might say, well, you know, those magi were really privileged people. If God showed me a star, I would follow. Actually, for a start, you probably haven't studied the heavens enough to even notice if there was a new star up there. Some of you might have done. But actually, do you know, we have got a wonderful, wonderful star. It's called the Bible. Do you know how I know that this is a star? It always leads to Jesus. All of it, every single bit of it, leads to Jesus. What's happening on Wednesday is wonderful. People are going to be given a New Testament. Some of them, don't tell Rory this, might end up in the bin. But then the dustman might pick it out. we can do a lot worse than giving someone a New Testament. This leads us to Jesus. It's God's word. It leads us to Jesus. And that's why we encourage people here, this church, to read the Bible. I hope you read your Bible. A little bit of it every day. I was speaking to someone last week, and they were saying, oh, I want more faith. In the new year, I'm going to give one of my lunch hours, a whole hour, and I'm going to read my Bible. I said to them, you're daft. What you need to do is to read a little bit of your Bible every day. Yeah? He wouldn't dream of thinking, well, I only need one meal a week. But actually, we need something every day. Do you read your Bible? Every time I get up here, I try and encourage you to read your Bible. Perhaps you don't know how to do it. Ask someone, how do you read your Bible? You don't start necessarily at the beginning and work all the way through. Get someone to help you. Get someone to show you. Get someone to lead you through it. Listen, this is our star. Okay, they didn't have the same sort of thing, those wise men, but they had what they had. And that's wonderful. So we often talk about the king. No, we often talk about lots of other things about Jesus. We talk about God often as our Father. But do you know, there are so many different strands to God. If we just talk about God as our Father, we can end up thinking of him as someone who just looks after us all the time. And then trouble hits. And we think, where's my Father now? Because we forget that God is also king. God is also, and kingship is about leading raiding parties. It's about ruling. It's about discipline. I was watching a little this morning, because I knew I was going to say this. Do you know, many of us, if we stood before someone from the royal household, would stand there with our hands in our pockets. And yet, some of us can stand with our hands in our pockets when we are worshipping. Can I provoke you on that? Listen, we come to worship as they came to worship a great king. And you'll say to me, well, they probably didn't have pockets in those days. Do you find worship difficult sometimes? Do you find it difficult? It is difficult sometimes. We have to press through. But we are coming to a king. When you gave your life to Jesus, did you realize that you were bowing before a king? It's one of the most difficult things we have to do, and we have to continue doing, is saying, no, not my will, but your will. We don't often say the Lord's Prayer, do we? Your will be done. Your will be done. And we can skip over that and say, on earth as it is in heaven. Perhaps it ought to be, your will be done. And I'm echoing another Argentine, aren't I? Because he's talked about the Lord's Prayer this week, about trying to modify, to get the right sort of thinking about temptation. But your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. You ever thought about saying that? Your will be done, Lord, in my life. So often, you and I can pray, Lord, will you help me with this? And you think, he doesn't seem to want to help me with that. No, he doesn't even want me to do that, let alone help me with it. Your will be done. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. It's one of the early creeds. Jesus is Lord. It wasn't Caesar is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Is Jesus King in your life and my life? For the Magi, Jesus was King. They bowed down and they worshipped him. And did you notice that he was so King in their lives that when they had a dream,
don't go back to Herod.
When they had a dream, they didn't go back to Herod. They went back a different way. Listen, there are going to be parties, and people are going to say, oh, come on, just have one more. Just one more. One for the road. One more. Have you ever been to a party and people have said, just stay another half hour and have one more. And then they pour you out a drink. Do you know, you don't have to drink it. If you feel a little embarrassed about it, you can pour it into their plants. You just leave it. Isn't it more important that Jesus is King than you have one more? Isn't it? People try and draw us in all the time into all sorts of things. We need to be able to say, no, I don't want a part of that. Will you look odd? Yes. Does that matter? I hope not. Jesus is King. Folk, let him be King when you go to parties. Let him be King in your Christmas celebrations. Let him be King. See, Jesus as King should make difference in our lives. He should make a difference in our thinking. Who's king in your life? Who is king? It's all about me. Do you hear people sing that? They don't sing it, but that's how they live. Is that how you live? Is that how I live? Life is about you. If Jesus is king, no, it's not about me. Do you know, I've got a mug, it says, "Be king for a day." I often use it because I try not to be king. It's difficult, isn't it? Because the way that we were born tries to shove us into that place where I'm important. I'm important. Jesus needs to be on the throne of our lives all the time. Yeah. So that when we hit hardships, you know, it's Jesus in control. It's not bad luck. It's Jesus in control. Jesus in control. You know, one of the things, and I disagree with one of the prayers from earlier, is that Jesus will never push himself into place. I can remember years ago, I wanted Jesus to push his way into someone's life. I fasted for 4 days. And you know, at the end of the 4 days, I was pretty hungry, and Jesus hadn't done anything. It was a learning curve. We would like Jesus to do all sorts of things that he actually wants you and me to do. Do you realize that? We think, oh, I wish Jesus would. Parents, it's really great when you pray for your children. It's lovely. But actually, he asks you to discipline them. He gives you the responsibility to discipline them. It's nice being a granddad because I don't have to do quite as much disciplining as a granddad, as a dad. Some people are looking at my grandson over here. So will you today echo what you probably did when you became a Christian and say, "Lord Jesus, you be king in my life. Sorry about the times that I've usurped you. I've pushed you out of the way." It should have an effect on our speech. In Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Andy read a little bit from this Isaiah this morning about a coal coming to touch Isaiah's mouth, because he realized that actually he was a man of unclean lips. And unclean lips doesn't really only talk, be, it's not only about swearing, but it's also about that acidic comment that people like me can make. Cut someone in two. Jesus being king means it should affect our speech. It should affect, being king should affect our Bible reading. We talked a little bit about parents disciplining children. Nowadays, something like spare the rod and spoil the child is regarded as old-fashioned. Some people say even wrong. Listen, did you or I put it in the Bible? Or did King Jesus put it in the Bible? Let's be careful. Let's be careful how we edit the Bible. Let's be careful perhaps not to edit the Bible. Let's be careful to say, listen, Lord Jesus, I'm finding this tough because the whole world seems to be against you, but actually, Lord Jesus, you said this, so it must be right. Let's start off on the foot. The Bible is right. The world isn't. Lots of people are trying to accommodate the Bible to what the world thinks. Don't be drawn into that. If the Bible says it, it's right. Now, let's work together to work it out. The guy who wrote that little bit about sparing the rod and spoiling the child had three brothers who his dad spoilt and didn't correct. Three brothers who died prematurely because of their stupidity. Listen, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. We need to work out how it applies. It should, Jesus being king, should affect our worship. I sometimes hear comments, oh, I didn't like that band. Actually, I like that band today. But I sometimes hear comments, I found it difficult to worship when so-and-so's playing, or I find it difficult to worship. Actually, coming on a Sunday to worship together is something that we need to work at and do well. I've already spoken about perhaps considering whether we should stand with our hands in our pockets. You probably notice I quickly took my hand out of my pocket just now. Let me tell you a secret about worship. Perhaps a couple of secrets. Not all songs are perfect. Did you know that? Not all songs are perfect. And not all songs I like. But it should have no effect on my worship. The worship bands are here to help us enter into the presence of the King. And we need to press in, because he is glorious, he is splendid. It's about him. It's not about, oh, I like that song. You can like songs, but actually you're never ever going to find a church that will always play your favourite songs. And listen, if you do find one, don't tell me about it, because I won't want to go, because I'll be bored to tears. We are here to give worship to our great King. I've got a couple more things. Our decision making. I've talked a little bit about buying presents. James reminds us that if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Is that right? Ask God. It also ought to have an effect on our devotion. Is Jesus your friend? Great. It would be nice to have a friend in the royal palace, wouldn't it? But remember, maybe one day he, stroke she, will be king or queen. We need to remember we are coming to a king. So, who is king in my life? Have I offered my whole life to King Jesus? Does he have the first say and the last say in everything? Is Jesus king in your life? Is Jesus king? Maybe you've deposed him for a bit. Today's a good day to sort of say, oh Lord Jesus, I'm an idiot. It's much better when you are king. And the second question is, will I make the necessary changes? God will be our help. God will be our help. Lord Jesus, we just want to worship you this Christmas, today, and in the coming year as King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord, we pray that this church here would be characterized by the fact that it's King Jesus. It's all about him. So, Lord, we ask for your help. Amen.